Amen. Let's pray together this morning. How many of you, I want you to think about what you just sang for just a moment. How many of you are truly thankful that the blood of Jesus Christ, that redemptive, powerful blood of Jesus Christ, has entered into your existence, and you're not what you used to be because you've been made alive in Jesus Christ? How many of you all can give Him thanks that you saved this morning? Amen? That you saved. And we need to praise Him a little bit. Well, let's pray. Lord, I just want to pray that You would open our ears to Your truth, that our understanding would begin to be able to comprehend how much You love us, the attitudes that You want to give us. Lord, we do pray for any person here today that is yet to engage in a relationship with You, that today will be the day of their salvation. We pray that with a loving heart. And Lord, we pray also that we would hear today exactly what You want us to know, that we might develop an attitude that is more like You and a lot less like us, that we would grab a hold of Your nature, God, that You've given us. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I got good news. God loves us all. What do you think about that? God loves every one of us. And I want us to hinge on that. And for the next few weeks, we're going to be working on this Hillview. We're going to get some attitude. And for us, and I've preached through this. We've been on this road for about 16 years. And I've gone through this sermon series about three times. And here's why I'm going through it again. We got a lot of new people inside of our community now, this particular community of faith. And I want us to get the attitude of Christ. And here's what I found. You can never hear the fundamentals enough. What do you think? Some of you all are coaches. Some of you all are sports fanatics. Guess what? I happen to coach as well as preach, and I have the privilege of doing that. And I'm a defensive coach, and guess what? They laugh at me. They call me the tackle Nazi because I believe you got to make a tackle. Well, watch this. Here's why I believe. I'm not a real smart man, but I check the game of football, and every good play ends on a tackle. Every play in football ends in a tackle. And so guess what? That's a fundamental, important thing. So you got to do it over and over and over. Well, guess what? There's some fundamentals in the faith of Jesus Christ. And we better know where God's going. Now, I want to give you a system that I want to log you into. First of all is this. I believe that God wants to reach and save everybody. I want y'all to know that at Hillview. You're under a pastor that believes every human being can have salvation. I believe that with my soul heart. Now, that makes this church a little different. Okay? I got some buddies of mine, they don't believe that. They believe some are damned and some are saved. I believe all are damned, and Jesus is our only hope. Without Jesus, we're damned. Y'all understand that? I'm not cussing. I'm telling you, damned means this. You're not privileged to the things of God. And guess what? We're all born to sin. How many of y'all found that out? How many of y'all found out you sin naturally? That was my problem. Man, it is so much easier to sin than to be righteous. How many of y'all found that to be true? I can just sin a lot better. It just fits. Well, here's what happens after Jesus comes in your life. Sin doesn't fit as well. I mean, you still get involved in it, but it doesn't fit anymore because it's not what you are. Now, I want you to grab this today because you got to grab this to move with it, okay? Our nature is our problem. Our nature. With the core of what we are. And now watch this. Our nature is sinful. Now once we realize our nature is sinful and we ask Jesus Christ to come in our lives, our nature is changed. Does that make sense? Our nature is changed. What do you think it's changed from? Your nature without Jesus is naturally leading toward death. Y'all understand that? Y'all give me that deer in the headlight look. Let me go over this real quick. I'm going with some basics today, okay? Sin is death. Y'all got that? Okay, sin's not bad, sin's dead. There's the difference. You see the difference there? Now, a lot of people say, well, I do some bad things. That's not the problem. I do some dead things. That's the problem. Because my nature is what? Sin. And it leads toward death. Now, when Jesus comes into my life, now my nature's been brought to what? Life. And it will begin to crave living things. How many of y'all know it's just hard to stop a craving? How many of y'all have ever craved something bad? How many of y'all, even if it has a warning label on it, you do it anyway? And how many of y'all surprised when you receive what the warning said? I mean, why do we do that? Because the craving is greater than the reality. That makes sense? I mean, clearly it says, warning! And we say, but I need it. Watch this. Here's what Jesus says in our nature. Our nature has been brought to life. Man, I can see y'all in the balcony. Y'all are so good looking. It's been years. Do y'all feel like you're here today? Man, y'all welcome the balcony. They have returned from Exile Island. They're no longer on Exile Island. Their nature has been changed. They can even see clearly now. See what I'm talking about? What's going on down here? Well, watch. Our nature gets changed in Jesus Christ. Now, follow this. When our nature gets changed, our attitude gets changed, and our actions get changed. Y'all follow the system here. What's got to be changed first? Spit it back out to me. What?
Nature.
My nature. I got to have something living inside of me. When I get this living Jesus inside of me, what's going to begin to change? My attitude. When my attitude is changed, then what naturally goes from there? My actions, my activity, my action, my activity, my action, my activity. Now, how many of y'all try to reverse that system? It's religion. Religion says I'm going to change my ritual, and thus my ritual change will change my attitude, and thus my nature will be changed. Here's the problem. That can never happen. My ritual, your ritual, our ritual can never change our nature, which leads me to the first attitude we got to understand today. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Y'all got the rhythm today? My nature's got to be changed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Guess what Jesus says? He says, I bring you good news. In your inability to get to heaven, I have come to bring heaven to you. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, but I want you to get this. This is a fundamental. You and I cannot get salvation by ourselves. How many of you all understand that? Okay, four of you, five of you, six of you, we're counting. Three in the balcony, they're here today. Look at here. Huh? How many of you guys get this? I can't save myself. How many of you, when you came to that realization, Jesus made sense? Watch this, here's what I'm going to tell you. Jesus will never make sense till you realize you are poor in spirit. Now, here's what God's talking about, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit has nothing to do with your material possessions. That's not what that's talking about in that verse. In fact, I got down a little bit this week in the word there. And I could really translate this in English like this out of the Greek. It would say, I became a beggar. Blessed is the beggar, because the beggar will receive what God wants. Here's what I got to come to realize before I ever understand my salvation. Jesus, without you, I can't make it. I will beg you to forgive me. Now, those of you that are married, understand this. Now, how many of y'all have ever messed up with your spouse real bad? Whatever it was, you messed up. You know, you got them. I can get my spouse mad sometimes. How many of y'all have ever gotten your spouse mad? How many of you have ever done this? You've done it 100 times. You told them you're never going to do them again. You did 101. We've all got something we do that on. And there's how many of you have ever done when they really came through with the consequence? See, Elizabeth will threaten me, and then she'll do it. And when she does it, then I beg for forgiveness. It's that kind of longing for God. You see, when we get that kind of longing for God, God will automatically touch us. Blessed are those who understand they can't go to heaven without Jesus. Now you say, well, Ayers, why do you preach this so much? Because we don't believe it. I hear it all the time in Bowling Green, Kentucky. People tell me, well, I guess I'm going to. How many of y'all have ever been to a funeral around here? There is some non-gospel gospel at the funeral, especially if the brother or the sister ain't been around Jesus. You watch them try to scrap them out of hell. Alan, you've been here in Kentucky. I do it down in Nashville, too. I've been to Nashville a few years. Do it down south, we do it. As soon as we know that they're not a believer in Jesus Christ, what do we start doing? We get this pretend gospel. We go, well, they were a good person. They helped me out in the first grade. She baked a pie for my mom and dad. Surely God wouldn't send bad people to hell. Yeah, He will. See, y'all think I made error? No. We think bad people are going to hell. Here's what we think. Surely God would never send a good person to hell. Yeah. Because this is what we got to realize. Our goodness is still poverty. What did Jesus say? He said, our righteousness is like what? Here's a beautiful metaphor. Filthy rags. Why did He say that? God's not being mean to us. He's not picking on us. He's not thumping us upside our head. Here's what He's saying. What I got in store for you is so beyond what you can imagine that your goodness appears as filthy rags to the greatness I want you to have. That seems like a pretty good God. What do you think? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now watch, I want you to get this. Our nature's got to be changed into life. Jesus is the only one that can forgive you and change you and bring you to heaven. How many of y'all are cool with that? See, that's the bullseye. Now, this is tough. You young people, you've been out there. Guess what they're saying now? The university has awakened to a new gospel. Here's the gospel of America. It's what Ayersism calls the gospel of toleration. It came from Barney. And Barney is the Savior. I love you, you love me. We're all one big happy. Who wrote that gospel? Barney. And now the kids that were Barney junkies are in college. And here's what they've gotten from the Barney gospel. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. And as long as we don't bother each other with what we believe, and we're nice and polite and respectful of each other's beliefs, then we're all going to just wince up into heaven one day because we've all been tolerant and loving of each other's beliefs. Welcome to America, 21st century. By the way, here's the only problem with that. God hasn't changed His mind. God didn't make Barney. Barney's way of gospel's been around for a long time. It's called pluralism. Everybody believe in their own God. Everybody have their own God. Everybody do their own thing. Everybody create their own salvation. And one day we'll all get to heaven. Doesn't this sound very familiar with a lot of you here? Oh, Ayers at the university is considered a jerk. Because guess what Dr. Ayers says? I believe theologically, according to the historical text of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life and the only way into heaven. So Dr. Ayers, do you believe that people that don't have a relationship are going to hell? Yes. They go, you bigot. How can you be so judgmental? I didn't write it! You know why it's so offensive? Because guess what? We haven't come to the first realization, Joseph, of this scripture. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You see, here's what I came to realize. I can't create a religion good enough to save myself. What do you think? I didn't have a problem with this in my own life. We all got different struggles. This didn't bother me. Jesus created the rules and I broke them. I understood I did that all the time. Did any of y'all have that problem? Any of y'all, just somebody gives you a rule and you break it. Anybody else just a rule breaker? Cage, get your hand up. Huh? I know, Cage. I've given him a few rules and he's what? Broke them. I've had a few rules, and guess what? You have a teacher agreeing with me, Cage. See, it's a biblical thing going on where two or more in agreement, there it is. Huh? How many of y'all broke the rules before? Come on, you broke them. And there's a young man that's honest. Look at all the kids. They're going like... And all the parents are going, I ain't raising my hand because I don't want my kid to know that I am just like them. Blessed are the poor in what? Okay, here's what it means to be poor in spirit. I realize that I cannot create my way into heaven. This has nothing to do with material possessions. It has to do with the initiation of salvation. Here I am, God. I have sinned, and I believe you to be the way of my salvation. Man, when you get to that point, what's going to be changed? What changes first? Y'all had it right first. My nature. I get my nature changed. Now what can change? Attitude. This is why psychology becomes so frustrating to people, because you're trying to change people's minds without their nature being changed. And all you're having is an exchange of ideas instead of an eternal result. So the best you can do is analysis. You can explain why you're messed up. True? Most of the time, what do we do in therapy? We explain to each other why we're messed up. Which I think sometimes we need to know that. I don't knock that. However, there's got to be a solution after we realize we're messed up. Huh? I mean, we got a lot of people that just sit around, they think this is rewarding. Okay, I'm going to get in a room, I'm going to tell you how messed up I am, and you tell me how messed up you are, and since we're all messed up, hallelujah. Is that salvation? No, they're missing the second part of the verse. They've realized that they're poor in spirit, but they haven't received that the kingdom of God is what? Theirs. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is theirs. This verse could read very clearly like this, probably a little more literal like this. Blessed are those who realize they're in poverty, because now the kingdom of heaven has become their reality. But I'll never realize heaven until I realize my poverty. How many of y'all realize, I don't have anything unless Jesus does something? Now, guys, this changes you, because then guess what? On Sunday morning, I don't have to go to church. I want to go to church. Make sense? How many of y'all want to go to church? Good. Well, thank God. How many of y'all are just coming because you grew up in the South and you're scared you'll go to hell if you don't make it here on Sundays? Some of you are sweating it here because we don't have Sunday night. What's going to happen to them? We'll probably get 3 weeks in hell vacation, then we get to going up to heaven. No. See, it doesn't work that way. People that think like that are trying to do what? Save themselves. You see, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Let Jesus save you. Now your nature's changed. Now you're going to begin to get an attitude of Christ, and then your actions will be you'll start living like Christ wants you to live. Is this making any sense? Somebody say amen if it makes any sense. And we do this in life. When my nature's changed, then I'll go do it. When I'm convinced that I can, then I will, and then it happens. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus is convinced he can save you. Jesus is convinced. Are you convinced that he will? People ask me all the time, how do you know you're saved, Ayers? I've been around you. Sometimes you don't look saved. I agree with that. I'm saved because Jesus said I was saved. I'm new because Jesus said I'm new. Amen? Every one of you in Christ can make that claim. Isn't that cool? They go, how do you know you're going to heaven? Jesus said so. And he's the only person I've met that hasn't lied. Even my mama lied. She said they'd love me. Some ain't. Now, she's always loved me. Because mamas give exemptions, amen? Teachers don't. See the difference? God never lies. He said, this spirit will be changed if you receive me. Does this make sense, guys? Now, I want to show you how that changed the attitude of our church. I really want you to know this. I believe all people can be saved. And here's the reason I believe it. The Bible teaches that. Now, we have some that are growing in the intellectual religious community today. And I want you to be aware of this, because you're going to bump into this. They believe that some are damned and some are saved. And here's the problem. They can believe. Who can determine that? See, here's my problem with their theology. What human being can determine another human being's salvation? I believe absolutely no one. And I believe anybody that attempts has missed this fundamental verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit. I realize that only Jesus can save me. So if only Jesus can save me, only Jesus can save you. Amen? And that we're on the ride together as humans, and we're not to be judging each other's salvation, but as the church of Jesus Christ, we're supposed to live out salvation with each other. Now, why do I believe that? I believe that's clearly what the Bible teaches. All have fallen short of the glory of God, and all need Jesus as a source of salvation. You say, why are you going over this fundamental? Because I don't believe a lot of us believe it. Now, I know why some of these preachers want to believe some are saved and some are damned. Because you don't have to fool with the damned. And it makes a better pastorate. People act up, you just say, well, they must be a part of the damned. I ain't fooling with them. Then you just fool with the people that cooperate, and it makes your career a lot easier. The only problem is there's no careers in ministry, only callings. And the problem with ministry, it's messy. Yeah. You say, well, how do you know the Bible says it? Look at how Jesus acted. Jesus went right where it was happening. Jesus walked among those that were poor in spirit. Jesus couldn't even have dinner over at a righteous person's house without some sinful woman dropping expensive perfume on his feet. And you can just imagine what all the church people thought. What's that good-looking babe doing rubbing Jesus' feet? Mm-hmm. Wonder where they've been last night. Mm-hmm. Now, don't think those thoughts didn't go on then. Why? People are poor in spirit. Mr. Keyes, am I not quoting the biblical text? Are these not literal stories that went on in Jesus' life? Brother, my question to the Christian world has been, why do we skip them? Because they're not easy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How many of y'all see this refers to your spiritual condition, not your material position? You say, well, how do you know it? Well, watch. Jesus didn't criticize people for having stuff. He warned people, don't let your stuff blind you to your spirit. Here's why Jesus said it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? What happens when we get a lot of stuff? Come on, it's dangerous. What happens when we get a lot of stuff? We get caught up in our stuff. That make sense? And it distracts us, doesn't it? I mean, look at a new car today. It's got a whole entertainment center on the dashboard. I remember when a car had a gear shift and a radio, AM, gas pedal. Now we got TV. You go down the interstate at night, driving at night. Every minivan's got Nemo playing in the back of it, which is kind of nice because you can just pull in behind one of them minivans and you get you a movie as you go on down the road free. You can go, hey, look, there's Nemo. I mean, Nemo was everywhere 2 years ago on minivan screens. Watch this. You and I drive cars with TVs in them. I don't, but some of you do. We're a rich people. And what I'm telling you, we're not going to be wealthy till we realize we're poor in spirit. Only Jesus can save me. Does that make sense? Because when I get a new nature, I'll get a new set of attitudes, and then I'll get to move on with some new actions that change me and change the way I live. All right, I'm finished. Did y'all get this today? First attitude at Hillview. We believe everybody can be saved. We believe everybody's sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We believe that people need Jesus. Now, that drives us to be crazy, so guess what that means? We believe in baptizing folks. Yeah. I don't preach so that you might feel good. Have y'all noticed that? In fact, never during the week when I'm preparing a sermon, I'm saying, Lord, make them feel good this week. Lord ain't never made me feel good, so I ain't going to make you feel good. The Lord's never looked at me and said, Stephen, I just want you to feel warm and fuzzy today. I died so that you might feel warm. You can get that from a shot of whiskey. Am I not telling you the truth? You see, I'm poor in spirit. It's not about my feelings. It's about my poverty. I need Jesus. And when you need Jesus and you know Jesus has saved you, watch this. I want to show you some things that changes. Changes the way you sing. I sing Amazing Grace because it is. It changes the way you relate to other people. I believe everybody can get saved. If you don't believe it, look around. I get punished from my colleagues all the time. Do you think you can really have church all them kind of different kind of people you got over? I said, I've looked at all of them. They all sinners needing Jesus. Well, how do you manage it? I said, we don't. So do they ever act up? I said, all the time. And they said, but you let people in over there that do all kinds of stuff. I said, I know they're doing it with your church members. I said, a lot of them buy it from your folk. See what I'm saying? It's about people falling madly in love with Jesus. What's wrong with that? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize they need Jesus Christ, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Two attitudes come for this for us as a congregation. We got to go tell this good news. What do y'all think? Church, I'm going to tell you, we've been quiet too long. We need to tell people that that Jesus loves them and wants to save them. What do y'all think God's desire is for Warren County? What's God's desire for Warren County? Come on, somebody speak up. I know it's 9:30 and y'all don't like to talk, but what is God's desire for Warren County? Sister, I believe that. God's desire is that everybody in Warren County would have a personal relationship with Jesus. How many of y'all think that's God's desire? Okay. Now, where do we as a church fall in line with His desire? Now listen, I'm not fussing at you. I'm just tuning this up a little bit, all right? How many of y'all have invited anybody today to come hear the gospel with you? Four or five people? What if everybody did? And really, I don't care if you invite them to Hillview Heights Church. I care that you invite them to Jesus Christ. You know, and I want to encourage you to do something. How many of y'all blame your life on Jesus? Okay, you need to start doing that. Some of y'all got great marriages here. When somebody asks you about your marriage, who do you need to blame it on? Jesus! When people ask me, they go, how have you stayed married this long? I said, Jesus. I said, we both have a new... I mean, people look at Elizabeth and I and they said, and people meet me and they go, people like you get a lot of divorces. I said, you're right. And see, you say, well, how have you not been divorced? Because my nature's been changed. Which began to change my attitude, which now has changed my what? Actions. But I'm going to blame it on who? Jesus. You see, I think we need to learn to witness in all things. And here's the problem is, some of y'all have been to church and you've been trained how to witness, which I think is the dumbest thing in the world. Nobody has to train me to talk about things I love. Nobody. I can tell you about my kids. I can tell you about my motorcycle. I can tell you about boats. I can tell you about lakes. I can tell you about golf courses. Not that I love them. They don't love me. But I can tell you about them. I've been on them. I can tell you about things I'm involved in. Why can't we talk about Jesus? You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. The world considers it offensive. Well, they consider a lot of things offensive when we talk about them. I'm talking about releasing a church that says, Jesus Christ makes a difference in my nature. And I live differently for this reason, because I'm different now. Isn't that neat? I don't fit in where I used to fit in. How many of y'all just don't fit in like you used to fit in? Well, good, you got saved. Now, if you fit in real well with this world, you know why? It's because you're of it. That's a bad deal when it comes back to cash in. I know what some of y'all are thinking. Well, surely, God, I'm a good man. I mean, I'm a Kiwani. I've been to Rotary. I won Outstanding Citizen of the Year. Where? In Bowling Green? You see, all of those things will what? They're not bad things to have. They're just things that don't last. That's why some of y'all need to chill out on the ball field. Nobody remembers next year. Chill out. They don't care. Not one time in life has anybody ever asked me about high school football. But boy, they've asked me if I got any brains. Then I refer back to high school football so they have identification. They ask me if I got substance. They want to look into my nature. And when they do, praise be to God, compliments of Jesus and only by Jesus, who is there? Jesus. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you, man. How many of y'all ready to just share Jesus in a big way? That's going to be the rest of this year. Let's go share Jesus in a big way. Let people know they can be saved. Amen? I mean, if God baptizes 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 through here in 1 year, can y'all handle that? No, now I'm bringing you into what God would do. I mean, that's no big deal to God. I mean, God's like, 6,000 people? What's the deal with that? I mean, God looks at the Titan State and goes, Titan Stadium this afternoon. And he goes, poor guys. And then he says, wow, a few folks have showed up for the game. I mean, this is a God of eternity. Makes sense? This is not a big God. This is a forever God. This is an unlimited God. And so what really happens to our nature is we have unlimited potential. And so, as your pastor, I'm going to push us till we get everything out of us we're supposed to get out of us in this lifetime. What do you think? I really am finished now. What do you think? Yeah? Ms. Turner, you think it'll work? You've been at it a couple years, haven't you? It's worked. Amen? Amen. Chris Allen, you think it'll work? I mean, you're a man that has the audacity to forecast the weather. But deep down inside, what do you know? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For only God knows exactly what's going to happen. Wouldn't it be cool if Chris got up tomorrow morning and goes, hey, I've talked to God. He hadn't really told me the forecast, but here's my best guess. That's really the what? It's really the truth. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This verse means more to me today than it ever has in my entire journey of life. Because I truly know Jesus is the only way. Gosh, we can't save ourselves. But man, I got great news to tell you. Jesus absolutely wants to save you. Say, Pastor Steve, from what? From dying. Today, some of y'all need to make that first move and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all realize that? You've sinned. This sin thing's pretty bad, all right? Because you got these Ten Commandments. How many of y'all have ever seen Ten Commandments? There they are, Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. How many of y'all thou shalt did? Huh? I missed the first one. Anybody here ever break the first one? It said, have no other gods before you. How many of y'all have done that at least once? Yeah, me too. Had some other things you were more into than God. Yeah, me too. What about this one? Thou shalt not steal. How many of y'all have never stolen anything? I mean, I hear that as a big value in Kentucky. I ain't no thief. I like to go, really? I said, you mean all the way through school, you never one time kind of glanced at another people's paper just to check and see if your answers were like theirs? I have to confess to you, I did that more than once because I wanted to pass. I was not intellectually smart, but I was politically strategic. It doesn't take long to figure out who the smart ones are in the class. But it takes a lot of strategy to position your desk to get that visual shot where you can be. Multiple choice were my favorites. Fill in the blank was a little confusing because I couldn't spell anyway. Guess what that's called? Stealing. Yeah. I found later in life that when people stole from me in things that I published and put their own name to it, I didn't like it. But then I was reminded of times that I'd done that too. We've all fallen short of what? Yeah, I mean, I didn't do it as a professional. I did it as a third grader. But it's still what? Doing it. How many of y'all have ever just coveted stuff? Two honest people. Bob, I bet it wasn't a Honda motorcycle, though, was it? Bob, have you ever seen a Honda going down the road and you as a Harley man just went, man, I want one of those. Never happened to you, has it? He said, never crossed his mind. How many of y'all been going down the road and you wanted somebody else's life? Come on, how many of y'all have done it? Come work with me here a minute. Y'all look like, you see, I can tell y'all have done these things because you always go like this. You look down. And then you look at me like, well, it's not me. It's the person sitting beside me. No, it's all of us. That's what I'm telling you. And once you realize these things, this is when salvation comes in. Watch, listen. Lord Jesus, I've done all these things. I'm a sinner. And Lord, today I've realized I got a poor spirit. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my what? Wow, what a prayer. And Lord, I want to live with you. Now your nature's changed. What'll begin to change next? No, not next. Attitude. And then what changes? Actions. Now, don't get those out of order, guys. Here's where I see people get a lot frustrated and have to take a lot of pills to cope with themselves, okay? Watch. I'm telling you the truth. Keep it in order. Jesus got to change my nature. Then my attitudes are going to become like his attitudes. Then my actions will just naturally become more like his. Don't reverse that salvation or it's very painful. Your actions will not change your attitude, and it definitely won't change your nature. So what happens to you is you have a bunch of activity without any meaning, which becomes meaningless. Make sense? All right, well, let's stand. Y'all been great today. Give yourselves a hand for listening well today. Done well today. Done well today. How many of y'all like the new surroundings? Y'all like it or not? What do you think? Yeah, me too. I love preaching you guys in the balcony and seeing your eyeballs. I can see you. I can see you look down and just like everybody else when they go, Here's the deal today. I'm going to offer a prayer of salvation. Some of you need to come and be baptized today because you hadn't done that yet. You need to get squared up. Man, Ray gave a great example. Ray been coming to Hillview two or three years, and he realized, man, I want to get obedient in baptism. Listen, the more of us that get obedient to what God wants, tell me what's going to go on in our congregation. Spirit gets more released. Okay, but this really doesn't release the Spirit. Just jumping up and down doesn't release the Spirit. Might reduce the waistline, but it doesn't release the Spirit. Releasing the Spirit comes when we say, God, you know what? I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to live out the attitudes you've given me. I'm going to really participate in this life, this kingdom of heaven that is ours. And I'm going to do it right now, not later on, right now. And that begins to change things, okay? Well, pray with me. We're going to open the altar, okay? Pray with me. Lord, today, first of all, I want to ask people that have never prayed this prayer, never asked Jesus in your life, why don't you ask him today? Come on. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Ask him today. Lord Jesus, today I realize I need you, that I can't do it on my own, that I'm not going to be able to save myself. I have a poor spirit. So, Lord, today I ask you to forgive me, come into my life, bring me to life so that I might live a new life. Man, if you're praying that prayer, just ask him in your own words. If you've never prayed that, we have pastors here that want to talk to you today. And they want to make sure that Jesus has entered into your life. Now, look at me. You don't have to keep your eyes closed to pray. It still works. You ready? How many of you guys have asked Christ in your life, but you've never been baptized? Okay, you need to do that. Here's why. Once you believe in something, you do what it says. And Jesus is a person, and here's what he said. Be baptized. Why? You need to be confirmed. That's a rewarding experience. Where's Ray? Where did Ray go? Ray! You've been baptized now. Do you regret it? Watch this. This is the only thing in life. I've never heard anybody get baptized and say, man, I wish I hadn't ever done that. Now, I've heard people get married and say, I wish I've never done that. I've seen people have kids and go, oh, man. But I've never, Keith, heard, and this is several thousands of these experiences, I've never heard anybody go, man, I wish I'd have never done that. I wish I'd have never confessed my faith in Jesus. I've not heard it. You know why? Because it's a confirming, confessing experience. So if you've never had that experience, you need to have that experience. You come talk to us about that. Now watch, we're throwing a new one in just because we got a lot of new people, and I've had a lot of people ask me, how in the world do I join the church? So with your brilliant pastors, we met together in leadership, and we came up with this radical idea. Since most people make decisions at the altar of our church, it takes our pastors a long time. If you need to talk about joining the church, guess what? If you'll just come forward and grab a pastor, we'll get that set up for you. What do you think? Because we've had like 1,000 people wandering around going, where's that class that you need to join the church? It's right here, right now. If you've ever wanted to just join a church and say, and here's what it means by joining the church. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You want Hillview Heights to be the primary place for your spiritual development. You're going to lock in and make it happen here. You're going to share things about Jesus. You're going to give. This is the place that your spiritual faith happens in, okay? If that's what you want to do, then guess what? You need to be a member, and they'll talk to you about that. Maybe today we need to do this. Just come and pray. Be healed. What do you think? That's a good thing. Some of you may be sick. Well, guess what? We believe in praying that people get healed. Say, what if y'all pray for me and I don't get well? Well, you'll die and go to heaven. This is a winning deal no matter what. That's why I want you to get to Jesus. Amen? All right. Well, Father, we've prayed and we've talked to you and we've loved you today and you've gotten real with us. And Lord, I ask the people that need to be baptized to come forward. Those that need to be saved for the first time, they'd come forward. Father, those that just need to be prayed over. Father, those that feel like there's no hope, I hope today they've heard there is hope in Jesus. And so God, just release this altar. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, guess what? Don't stand there and stare. Come forward if God has said something to you today, and we're ready to talk to you, okay? Come on, church. Let's worship.